latte belly, occasional misses from a Southwest 8 cafe.
There are many places in London that I now feel uncomfortable in, and such is my, or such is the extent of my discomfort in London that I think today's audio boo is going to need to be split into four. Quite frankly, London, one of the biggest cities in the world, has become a rather small space for me. I've got through the most difficult year of my life by essentially living day to day in the corridor that exists between Stockwell and Vauxhall. South Lambeth Road has become a refuge. The only streets are I feel that I can function in. This is where I willingly give myself over each day to these lattes. I now live in streets I walked half a lifetime ago. Everything has shrunk back to this. This is where I write, think, reflect. Occasionally where I just try to forget. This is where I've sat and dealt with the losses, the mistakes of the last 10 years. This is where I've sat and wondered why the few victories of the last 10, 11 years, big victories, didn't feel like victories. This cafe has become the place I so urgently needed to retreat to when I became trapped underneath a big pair of upright knockers. But earlier this year, I almost lost this place too, more of which I will talk about in part four of this audio boo. I am a man who followed his dad's path, who sought conflicts sometimes where there were no conflicts to be had. I fought multiple battles. I am a man who between 1990 and 2002 was sacked over 70 times. I was even sacked on the day of the Twin Towers within 10 minutes of the first plane hitting the North Tower, during which no one at my work was yet aware of what was happening. And I watched the second plane getting hit, the South Tower. I saw that getting hit with the security guards who were meant to be escorting me out of the building. I quit another 100 jobs over 20 years. I am a man who, in 1991, led a revolt, the Saturday Boys against Nine Elm Sainsbury's. A man who lost legal battles he didn't need to lose. And yet, fearless as I was, I became a man who for years was running from swathes of London haunted by memories and people, most of whom were dead and some who are not. And I know I'm not alone in this. Mickey, for instance, he's reluctant to record at my flat because I live across the road from the estate he grew up on, right across the road. I understand that. I live only 10 minutes from where I grew up, where I lived for the first 28 years of my underachieving, multi-rhinoplastied life. I've only been back twice to that road since my mum died there 11 and a half years ago. And that was to break into the flat when my dad had gone missing to establish just what had happened. A fate which required me to climb up to a second floor window, which to this day I feel should have been witnessed by more people. And finally I returned this time with keys to clear my dad's flat after news of his whereabouts and death had been confirmed weeks later. To this day, I can't walk down that road again, a road that's always going to be in my heart, but one from which me and my family, I think, we deserved a better exit. And I think listeners will understand that, and most of you will know of one such place in your life where ghosts, your ghosts, will overwhelm you. And that brings me to Clapham. Now, my dad passed away on the common, so naturally it's not going to be my favourite place. Yet I remember many brilliant times in Clapham as a child. We did everything there because as now, there was nothing to do in Stockwell. But as I got older, two things happened. After 95, Clapham decided it wanted to become the pretend Chelsea. It became the whore of the fat businessmen who felt that bringing in a big Sainsbury's gave them carte blanche to completely change the area to attract the middle classes back to the area they'd given up almost a century earlier. But then Clapham troubled me anyway. I knew too many people there. I couldn't visit the high street without bumping into old friends and acquaintances. Some that you knew were heading down a bad path, so I began to take the back streets to get to where I needed to get to, almost doubling my journey times in some instances just to avoid painful small talk. But more troubling to me was that Clapham became this big corporate middle-class whore that opened its legs to Belgos, the Starbucks, and a whole array of overpriced wanky bars and cafes. For the last years of her life, my mum along with my aunt would have had to shop in Brixton instead of Clapham as the old shops disappeared just to get their groceries and, you know, my pants. I did all my schooling in Clapham, but I don't recognise what I see now, except for that dog shit ridden common, a place that I never understood how my dad loved. But I think even he, in his tight running shorts, would have struggled with what Clapham became. You know, Clapham doesn't even have the decency to swallow the jizz of that corporate cock it went down on post-95. I'm just a man having a coffee.